Oh, hey everybody.
We're live.
Interesting. So, was out in Oregon for family for the week, came back Wednesday, and got home somewhere around 10:30, had to immediately go right back to work. And so, as you can see down here, I am sleepy. I am also a little dopey and grumpy and multiple other dwarves.
Which I think is on brand for you without taking a long trip directly going to work. But that's kind of what we do. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get this thing started.
Soccer chat with two T's. Because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
So welcome to Soccer Chat. This is episode 15. I'm Alex. He's Adam. Jeff is right now away at his real job and may be joining us later.
Real job. Ridiculous.
Priorities. So we have not been together since last Thursday when we previewed the game against Greenville. Adam, you were there. I was watching on a computer in my father's basement. What are
like
your
a true soccer hipster? Well done.
There you
hiding
go.
In your parents' basement and watching
drinking
soccer.
Miller High Life. Yeah.
That game sucked. Like there's no other way to put it. That game sucked. Like it was excruciating. It was not a fun watch. It was poorly played. It was just a bad game all around. I didn't think we were well organized. I felt like we allowed them to control way too much of the game. And outside of a really great free kick, we were outplayed for most of the match.
It really felt like we were struggling to create chances, which is not something we've had a problem with up till this last game.
Yeah.
You know, lots of attacking players I think we have a lot of confidence in. Jackson Dietrich got a start. I felt like he was, you know, not a step down from anyone else that had played. He did a good job. He earned the free kick that Carrera Garcia scored. So, yeah, it was just kind of a, you know, You start to worry because teams like Greenville are who we're going to see in the playoffs. So when we get to playoff soccer, are we going to struggle to find that goal? It's going to come down to being the team ahead at the end, not the team that comes away with the draw.
So for me, the bigger worry is eventually draws start to add up, right? And if you look at the table, you know, Greenville, we're recording this on Friday. You know, we're live, so most people will know that if they're watching us live. But Greenville tied Toronto 0-0 today. They had a 4 o'clock classic Toronto start on a Friday afternoon.
How and, unprofessional. I can't believe they play in the middle of the day without lights.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. But yeah, 0-0 tie. And so I started looking at the table just out of curiosity, like how much are these ties that we're doing and Greenville are doing starting to add up? North Texas, currently sitting in 11th, has played 12 games, which is 3 less than Greenville. They are 9 points behind Greenville. Theoretically, unlikely, but theoretically, they could go from 11th to 3rd on the same amount of games in points. We're starting to allow teams outside of who we perceive to be the top two in addition to us, which is Greenville and Omaha, to sneak back into the conversation of stealing one of those, the second place. I think one of the three of us, whether it's us, Omaha, or Greenville, will eventually decide it's time to start winning some games and run away with it. And it's going to be a fight for who gets that second spot. We need to establish that starting tomorrow versus Madison. And we really should have done that versus Greenville on Saturday. And I think, you know, I mentioned that I felt like we were unorganized to a point, and that I felt we allowed them to control it. We did not act like the home team in that game. We acted like the team trying to get a point, and it just didn't make a ton of sense to me. I don't know if I have the great answer as to what it is, but I don't know if the lack of Markey, who, congratulations, was rightfully home with his wife and newborn. So I'm not knocking him for not being there. That makes sense to me. But I don't know if the lack of Markey may have been part of what kept us from having our normal, you know, strength at the end of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, and that can be a problem if you're over-reliant on that one player, especially if he's a guy who his role seems to be to come in for 35, 30 minutes and try to change a game. Like, he's the guy that puts the match away, not the one that we're expecting to get the game winner. So that becomes a problem. We've talked about a lot of attacking talent. We argue about what we think the starting front three should be, who we want to have in the midfield. There's a lot of options there, and they need to start performing, and they need to start getting early goals. We talk about that a lot. The early goals are what we need to build a lead, and those guys need to start pulling those out. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff's here pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I tried, so.
So, Jeff, we were discussing the results at Greenville, or not at Greenville, but at home versus Greenville, mm-hmm. and we kind of mentioned that we felt like to a point we were missing a beat. Like, it was just unorganized or something wasn't there. We were almost letting them control the game. What was your impressions there at the game as well?
Honestly, I think we were in the driver's seat for the first half. And then I think we started to let it slip in the second, which is interesting because it usually is the other way around. It's usually in that first half is when we struggle to keep it together. I felt like we were in control, but we didn't take advantage of that control. So I felt we were dictating the pace at the beginning. We were handling the ball rather well. I think defensively we did much better. I think Esparza in particular has improved greatly on that left back. But I don't think we took advantage of opportunities in the first. And the second, they started to come back, which is usually our role. And of course, and then when it was all said and done, we're the ones that eventually did come back. I think if we had taken care of business in the first half a little better, it would have been a 2-1 win.
So real quick to somewhat follow up on what you're saying there and kind of maybe bring out something that I'm noticing a little bit is, you know, when we talked to Coach earlier in the season about Ray Ortiz and bringing him in, he kind of gave the impression that he would become a 90-minute guy. Same thing with Rafa. He talked about him becoming this 90-minute guy. And it seems like both of them have somewhat fallen out of favor with the coach because neither one is really gaining minutes. In fact, Ortiz has very much seems to have lost his place. The only reason it seemed like he even came in was because of an injury. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Is it just a matter of him still fully figuring out how to use his healthy players, or do you think it's possible that he is starting to decide that they're not the player he expected?
I think it's an interesting question. So they're both guys, you know, Ray Ortiz came in from kind of a long layoff being signed. He had been with FC Cincinnati and then had a lot of time off before he signed with the Red Wolves. And Rafa, as you know, they've been kind of slowly trying to get him back. We're about at the midpoint of the season. They've both had multiple appearances. And so it's the sort of thing where you're right. They probably should be at the level of fitness. And, you know, it's really hard for me to talk about anyone's level of fitness without, you know, three fingers pointing back at me. But I feel like they probably should be there. And maybe as some of this time is starting to kind of, as they're starting to continue to come off the bench, that there might be a bit of a message sent, you know, we're looking to you guys to drive this game, to score goals, to put us ahead. And we're not getting the production that we want. So, you know, we need to see you step up.
Okay. I think I'm going to look at them differently for each player. I think Ray may be an example of a little underwhelming compared to as advertised. I think he's a good player, has played well. I think he's got a future with the club, but he's not a 90-minute player right now. And so Ray's got to up his game. I think the issue with Rafa is more, I suspect, where he's not 100%. I suspect that we don't have full Rafa right now. And so I'm hoping it will, we will get a 90 minute Rafa. I just don't think we have it right now. And so I think the coach is trying to figure out where best to put them. I think with Markey out this past week, for very good reason, Markey, I think that really shown that Ray isn't quite enough, and then we're missing a spark there, and Ricky can't carry the whole spark that whole time. Of course, I do want to say Carrera Garcia really stepped up as well. Of course, as he always does, great, but we just didn't have that enough. And without Markey there, I think we really noticed it.
So, you know, let's not focus too much on the game that happened almost a week ago, and let's turn our eyes towards this game this upcoming weekend. Alex, what is it that you're expecting out of the team? Are you expecting many changes from what we saw on Saturday?
I would say possibly we would see someone like Rafa or Ray Ortiz in the starting lineup for Jackson Dietrich. I think he did a great job in his start. I think he played well. Here again, he earned the free kick that led to the goal. But I think I like his impact coming off the bench, able to kind of like Markey, come in off the bench and give a spark and be active and go at tired legs. And I think that's just a great spot for him to be right now. As kind of a younger player in his career. So I would expect maybe to see one of those guys. And that's really about the only change I would expect to see. I think most of the other players, we've had a full week off from playing on Saturday. I don't think anyone, you know, was limping off with a serious injury on Saturday. So I think we should see pretty much those same people. Expect to see Markey back in the substitute list to be that spark off the bench. He's probably, I'm pretty sure he'd be back by now, ready to play, and so that'll be exciting to have him back.
Yeah, I think we're going to see very similar. I think Jackson did well. I would be fine with Jackson starting, but the only thing is, if I don't know the full status of Jorge Luna, and that could be a possibility onto there. But I think Navarro and Ramos are doing well. If we had Luna as an option, I think that gives us maybe having Ramos back in the midfield and moving Ricky Ruiz up as a winger rather than the midfield. So I think that would be a possibility, but I suspect that's not going to happen. I think we're going to have a very similar lineup.
So there was a pretty significant, I would hold it a significant lineup change that was done in this game, and that was that we saw Ramos and Navarro back as the center backs pairing with Ricketts and Esparza on the side. What did you guys think of having them back and pulling Ramos from kind of that central defender role or central mid defender role to a true center back again?
I like it. I like seeing Ramos. I think the two of them make a very confident pairing and really make you feel at ease with the back line. And I think the way that Obleda wants everyone pushed high up the field, Ramos still has the ability to get on the ball and to pick passes and put people, between lines and send up to the forwards and things like that, just like Navarro does from that same position. So I like seeing the two backs and being able to throw, you know, an extra player up into the attack instead of having Ramos as the defensive mid and having two guys behind him.
Yeah, well, the reason why Ramos has been filling that role on occasion is we still don't have our main defensive midfielder, and that's Wilafi. Saw some pictures that looked like he was doing some practice, so I don't know if he's – I don't know what his status is. If he is, he certainly wouldn't start. He probably would only play a few minutes. So I think my reason for that is, yeah, I was pleased with how Ramos and how Navarro had played in that back line, and I'm very comfortable with him there. But if we have Luna as an option, that does thicken up our mid. I think we'll be fine either way, especially against this team. I think that Madison can surprise you, but I do think they're less of a threat to us than Greenville was.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at their stats, it's they on paper they do look like less of a threat. And if you look at their recent games, though, you know, they tied Greenville, they tied Union Omaha. So it's not like they haven't been able to play the top teams, but they also lose to North Texas 4-1. They lose to New England 2-0. So it's they're kind of hit or miss on what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's
that said, I think they're kind of in the same boat as us. So they've only got one win in the last 9 games. They've got a lot of ties. And so they're probably thinking the same thing. Man, if you know one or two things goes right, those ties turn into wins. And so that makes them a very dangerous team. Now, luckily, we, you know, since that loss in Tormenta, we've won 3, we've tied like 4 or 5. We've got 5 ties in our last 6 games though. So we're hoping to get back on the winning track as well.
Yeah. Now they've had some impressive draws against Union Omaha, and a little way back up at Greenville, and that was about a month ago. But recently, you know, they had a major loss against North Texas. I know it was an away game, but they also had a draw against Fort Lauderdale, which, to be honest, I think, you know, Ford Madison is the stronger Mingo.
So what makes me laugh about that Fort Lauderdale game is – not nearly as much talk about how extra time works when it was them, which I thought for sure they would all freak out the same way with our goal against Omaha. Everyone freaked out about that. But yeah, it was one of those that they were up 1-0 going into the 100th minute and lost, or not lost, but lost the win and ended up with a tie there. So that's another game where really they led for a good portion of it. The Union Omaha game, I watched a bit of that just because I wanted to see, you know, without the blinders of my Red Wolves, two teams that I'm not big fans of, how bad is Warner Park? It's just as bad as I thought it was. I found myself rooting for Ford Madison just out of anger. Which, you know, if I'm rooting for Ford, I really just am annoyed by the fact that that's the field they're allowed to play on. I mean, it's an insult to soccer. There, I've given my Omaha rant for the day. But looking back to tomorrow and focusing on that, the thing that's interesting to me about Ford is excluding the game versus North Texas, they're in every one of these matches. You look at when goals are scored, they're not getting run out of the park by any stretch of the imagination. So we got to be ready for that is what I'm guessing I'm getting at on that.
Yeah. They're not a pushover, but I do think this is winnable. And I'm wondering if maybe they're starting to get a little fatigued. Yes, they were at home last week, but they had a rough road trip just before that. So, and this is our second game in a row at home. So I'm hoping that momentum in. Plus, if Roe gets what Roe wants and we are out there filling out the stands and screaming, I think that makes an advantage. So I'm really hoping this will turn it around. I guess I'm jumping ahead there, but I still think we have the advantage. So if we don't get a win, I don't mean just a draw. If we don't get a win, we've messed up.
The next 3 games – we are playing home tomorrow with Madison. We are then playing on the road against North Carolina. And then we are playing at home again against North Texas. And this stretch to me is 7 points minimum, or things are really starting to be kind of worrisome. And so to go to what Jeff was talking about, if you haven't bought your ticket yet, a ticket to the supporter section 119, gets you a free adult beverage if you're over 21, or a free Coke if you're under 21, so you can get hyped up on Mountain Dew, or if you're a teetotaler like Jeff. So get that ticket, get there and get loud. One of the other cool promotions is apparently it's tax-free weekend at the Red Wolf Stadium, so all merchandise and all food and beverage tax-free.
Yes, awesome. Very good.
Tax-free nachos are the best kind of nachos.
Yes. So, You know, if they don't have nachos, I'm gonna hold it against you personally. So I just want to let you know.
That seems fair.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Well, before we move on and on to some other areas that we wanted to cover on the show, I think it's time for Sleepy's favorite section of the show, which is the painful predictions.
Hmm. All right, Sleepy, what do you got?
Sorry, I dozed off there. I see this being a super close game, but I think we've got the horses to do it. I see Juan Galindrez scoring. I see Carrera Garcia scoring. I see Rafa Mintzigan scoring. And a Madison goal somewhere in between those just to make us sweat a little. And we win 3-1.
Hmm. That's interesting. So I'm going to call a little tighter than that. I'm going to say it's going to be a late win. We're going to score earlier, but then they're going to catch up around the 70th minute or so. And then after 85 minutes or so, we will score the second goal and get the actual win.
So you guys are a little bit more optimistic than I am. Shocking, I'm sure.
As we normally are, yes.
I do not have us losing, so that's a positive, I guess. But I also do not have us winning. I think we're going to continue our trend of annoying ties. And I'm going to go even further with how boring I think this game is going to be. I have us in a nil-nil tie with like 70-something.
Nil.
And I'm expecting the Red Bulls to have somewhere between 15 and 20 shots. And Ford Madison to have like 2. Nil-nil.
So, Neil. Wow. Nil-nil. So, Neil Young and Neil Peart. All right. I don't know. I can't see that because I think we've got too many bullets in our gun. And I do agree we will probably be shooting a lot more blanks than we would like. And we will probably have a ridiculous amount of shots on goal and certainly a lot of shots. But I think we're going to get at least one. And I think we're going to get 2 of them in.
Just to add to Adam's sense of pessimism, if we have a nil-nil draw, that will be our second clean sheet of the season.
Well, there's the there so is
that
finding the silver lining there.
Yeah.
So I have a merch idea we could do is if we get a bunch of t-shirts and give people a bunch of glasses of quick milk of the different flavors. And then we tell jokes so where they laugh, so the milk comes out of their nose onto the shirts, and we could sell them as Ford Madison jerseys.
Ooh. You had me at Nestle Quick.
Yeah, so. Here you go. It does look like a hodgepodge of Nestle Quick, just kind of, you know, threw up everywhere. So
I am working on sourcing some t-shirts. So some folks don't know, but there was controversy before the game last weekend. When we were alerted by the front office that Vuvuzelas have been banned. Yes. So sometime in the near future, I will have free the Vuvuzela shirts for sale. That'll be coming. But I will not let this stand. I believe in the 8th minute, which is about as long as you can handle listening to a Vuvuzela, I'm going to stage a walkout. I'll come right back. Don't worry about it. So we're going to free the Vuvuzela at CHI Memorial.
I could have not have been more excited about the fact that they banned those. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
My family has some pretty horrible, annoying noisemakers, but even those don't come close to a Vuvuzela.
Yeah. That's, it is one of the low marks of soccer in the Western Hemisphere. And not a bright point. Not a bright point.
So real quick,
so speaking Alex's, of
Alex's least favorite part is when we talk about the power rankings. But there was a good conversation piece that was put out, which was mid-season grades.
I got it. I got it here.
So Chattanooga Red Wolves get an A-. How do you guys feel about that grade?
I think it's actually pretty fair. Really? I was thinking it's either going to be that or, well, sorry. Wow, how do we get to there? There we go. Sorry, it was way too much Adam that I want to see. I thought it was pretty fair, and I think it's mostly because of our draws. But to be honest, we've had an exceptional season. Coach has put together a phenomenal side. And I think it's beyond just the score. If you're also bringing into this, Adam, if you're bringing about the excitement that the Red Wolves have brought and up in our game, yeah, I think it's an A-. If we didn't have so many draws, it'd be a straight A.
See, I just think the draws take us down to a B. You say five of the last six games have been a draw, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would almost rather have two wins and four losses or three losses out of those five, because that's more points. Like, the fact of the matter is you draws aren't A's. That many draws is not an A. There shouldn't be an A next to, really, in my opinion, anyone in the league. No one has run away with this like they could have. B+, maybe, B, but I'm sorry, an A- is way too high.
Yeah, not to sound like a tiger mom, but it's an A- that just kind of feels unsatisfying, because we could, with some of these wins, be a team that's a straight A that is running away with this table right now. And so I think you're right. It's you see that and you look at the table, and there we are in second place with one of the fewest number of games played of anyone in the league. But all those games in hand mean nothing if they end up as draws. That's kind of what happened to us in the first year. We kept saying, yeah, oh yeah, we've got games in hand, we'll catch up. And then we just kept tying and not making up any ground. And so this is the same thing. As we start to catch up to these teams, we have got to start turning these into wins that allows us to really pull away from the lead that we're in. But it's really hard to give a B to the team in second place.
So what are the grades in there
since they started?
What are the grades for Greenville and for Omaha on here?
All right. So look, for Greenville Triumph, they're at B+. And okay, you said Union Omaha is, they got the straight A. And I have to agree, as much as I don't want to admit, they have, you know, they've had the most impressive this season, even so though they've hit the similar thing we have, is that they've also hit. I know, and that's been very odd. But if you look at the whole season, and I suspect, Adam, they are grading on a curve. When you look at all 10 teams, and someone has to be the A, if that's how they approached it, then I think, yeah, Omaha's an A, and the reason we're A- is because we're not far behind Union Omaha.
But then it becomes just, where are they in the rankings? Like, for the last line of this, where it says, there has been nothing about this team so far to knock its grade below a full A. No, there has. Ridiculous amount of ties. Same thing with us, right? Like,
including
that's what
the
should
chance
be
that they had to put a knockout blow against us.
Yeah, like,
and
I'm
we
sorry.
At the very end of the game. So
there's nothing wrong with saying that no one's had an A start to the season. Like, that's where I come from. Like, if you want to give true grades, give true grades. The best, and I'll give them the highest grade. Give them a B+. Say that they've had, because of everybody, they've had the best, because they've had a lot of travel early in the season, right? Because they play in a baseball stadium as the second tenant. So they got the worst possible dates they can get, and they had a lot of road games. So give them a B+. But you can't tie five games like they've tied. Give up goals late in the game, or I don't know, on the last possible play, maybe, to a team that you should be trying to separate yourself and not get a B.
Okay, we got to pull back, just like how we look at the power rankings. What this is not chosen by sports writers. This is not chosen.
Well, it's chosen by a sports writer.
Yeah, it is chosen by the league, and it is a marketing plan, and it's a good one because it keeps people engaged. It gets people on crazy podcasts talking about it, but that's why I don't put a lot of weight to it, and is the fact that it is something that the league put out rather than something that is put out by sports journalists or pundits.
Did they give North Carolina FC a lower grade than an F? A C! How did they give him a C?
Okay. If you were a kid and you had a teacher, you don't want Adam to be your teacher. Because you will lose your scholarship if Adam is your teacher.
But, like, is there anybody who's watched a North Carolina FC game and thought to themselves, yeah, that's a mid grade. Like, they've done roughly, you know, not great, but not horrible. No, there's a reason four people are coming to the games. They've been terrible. That's an F. Come on. All right, I'm done.
Adam's employees or direct reports are really looking forward to the upcoming evaluations.
So when we look at the actual standings, yes, we actually go to that. Yeah, because they're at 9 points compared to 15, 16. And the funny thing is I bet you, looking here, is that North Texas is probably a higher grade than it should be. Let's go over
B minus. B minus. Come on.
It's a C plus. Well, what in the world is Fort Lauderdale then? It's a C plus.
Did anyone get a D or an F?
Obviously not.
B minus. Wow, right. Richmond Kickers have been terrible. Did they get a C?
New England has lost more games than they've won.
So Tucson has a B minus.
So has Toronto. Really?
You ready? Richmond? C plus.
Wow. Is this being done by Paula Abdul?
And B minus for Ford Madison.
Oh,
so,
shocker.
I can't believe that Ford Madison's getting an A plus because they did put out a reversible kit. It looks like their fan group put out a reversible basketball kit today. So there's that. Good, yay, Flock. And so that just says to me, like, these are not real grades. This is like, if everybody has a B or a C and a couple A's, like,
yeah,
just this nobody
is, this
wants
is some Harvard level grade inflation going on.
Like, come on now. Like,
all right. Well, I'm glad I went there.
Okay. So we need to put this in the same level as people should judge this podcast. So as far as
our
authenticity.
No, I want this guy judging our podcast.
No, yeah, we don't want Adam. We don't want Adam judging the podcast.
I've given my review and it was harsh.
Wait. Michael Creel, I'm not sure which one he was talking about, was probably North Carolina. He said, C is passing grade. They ain't passing. And so I want to know, 100%. Michael, how do you know which one is – you must know very close which one is barely passing. So how do you know that? No, I'm just kidding. And then he also followed up. I should have read that, make sure it wasn't profane.
Yeah.
How are they mingled?
Michael,
something makes sense. Okay.
So I can explain that to you, Michael. This is actually an interesting story. So – the reason that Madison is what they are is there was a prank pulled back in the late 70s where somebody put plastic flamingos. So they're not flamingos. They are plastic flamingos. They're very clear on that. But they put plastic flamingos all over the, you know, because Madison is the capital. So they put all over the Capitol building lawn. And it's been like a running tradition in the city of Madison for ever since. So that's where that came from, which is kind of – honestly, that actually does tie well into the city. I don't knock them for that. I think if they went with something cheese related, it would actually be lazier than what they did. So I'll give them credit for that one.
How about a flamingo made of cheese?
Oh, don't give them ideas. They'll start selling that stuff and make a couple $100,000.
On a stick.
Jeff just ruined my big reveal at the tailgate, but that's fine.
Is it going to be fried cheese on a stick? Because
if it's Southern, it has to be fried. Yes. Yeah. Everything has to be fried.
Well, our grill master is not going to be able to make it, so we might have to deep fry everything. I'm just saying.
Wow. Oh, when I have the grill master, I don't know. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's a problem with it being 1,000 degrees outside. The AC guy has to work.
Just hold your hot dog out the window.
Yeah, that might work too.
Dashboard of your car, and they'll be ready to go.
So that's the last question I have before we move on to non-Red Bulls related stuff. Talk a little bit about some of the national teams and things like that. Is, do you think the heat index that we've been hitting the last couple days is going to have an impact more than just the random 3-minute water break right after an injury break or something like that.
You would think it would give us an advantage over Madison. You would think, you know, because our guys are used to playing in that. It's going to be hard to tell, but it's.
I think even more than
it's going to be a rough. It's going to be a rough day tomorrow.
It comes down to practicing in it, so they are much more acclimated.
Right. You know,
Madison's gonna step off the bus, step off the plane here in Chattanooga, and be like, "Whoa!" And there's only, I mean, you know, the staying at the hotel they stay at, they can't open those windows probably, so it's not even like they can make themselves sleep in it to try to get acclimated. So I think Jeff is right. I think it's the sort of thing that maybe gives us a little bit of an advantage, but you know that there's gonna be some kind of horrible injury. Well, not, I shouldn't say there's going to be a horrible injury. Fingers crossed, no horrible injuries.
Yeah. It's not root for horrible injuries.
But there's going to be something where the guy's down on the ground for, you know, a good 7 minutes, and everyone's going to go to the sideline and drink. And 2 minutes after play resumes, the referee's going to blow the whistle and have everyone take a hydration break, because League One referees have no idea how to manage a soccer game. It's not like it's not like they teach you how to do that in the referee class that they took when they were 15 and started refereeing.
So the one caveat I do want to give supporters, as we are apt to give the other team a hard time, especially if they are up late in the game, there's a chance the cramping we will see in the second half is actually related to the heat and not to time wasting this time. However, if we are up and our team starts to cramp, we just need to assume that's because of the heat, right?
There you go. That's it.
Just want to make sure I got that right.
So we've got Ladies Olympic Soccer going on. Exciting finish as the U.S. beat Netherlands in the quarters. They will be going on to semifinals. I'm trying to see here. Who are they going to be playing? They will be taking on Canada.
Yeah.
Maple syrup drinking posers.
Yeah, and Canada just beat Brazil. That's huge.
Australia and Sweden in the other semifinal. How do you guys
Australia see this beat out? Great Britain and Sweden beat Japan. So, wow. So when we're looking at this next round, I have to – I think USA Women is favorite. They should be favorite all the way through. And hats off to Canada, but this is where you step off.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
So the only thing I would say is we haven't played well, right? We are normally significantly more dominant. We survived, I think, is the best way to say what happened with that Netherlands game. I mean, you're in the penalty shootout in the quarters. That is not traditional women's national team for us. I've watched these games. I haven't been feeling like it's gone like bad luck. I feel like we've kind of deserved the results that we've gotten. That said, I still have a lot of confidence in this team. I mean, there's a reason we're considered the best in the world, and it's because we're consistently show up for these tournaments. And I expect we thought the loss was a wake-up call. Going to a penalty shootout in the quarters, if that's not the wake-up call, then I don't know what is, and I expect us to come out and be dominant in our next game.
Yeah, I do think Canada is going to have momentum going into this. I mean, beating Brazil, that's huge, and that's going to give them a big confidence boost. However, they also beat them on penalties. So I hope it doesn't end up going to penalties. And so I'm hoping we're going to finish it in 90 minutes.
I know the Brazilian women's team was pretty formidable, but I think they've kind of hit a sour, you know, kind of a downturn for them as well. Some of their better players have kind of aged out. So it's not the same as the men's side beating Brazil, but Brazil definitely is no pushover. Australia and, of course, the nemesis Sweden. Here again, Sweden women's team, one of the more competitive. This is one of the things that kind of infuriates me when people talk about women's soccer, is that these countries and the national teams, it's not one-to-one comparison. It's just because England was in the final of the European with the men, that doesn't automatically mean that the women's team is just as good. This Sweden team, even though the Swedish men's team isn't the most formidable, this Swedish team is pretty good, and they always have a plan when they come up against the United States. So it's not that shocking that Sweden was able to come away. Probably shocking that they did it 3-0. Even Australia, they're a very, very competitive team. I would kind of expect them to beat Sweden and set up that USA-Aussie final. And that would be a heck of a game to tune into. Very fun soccer between the U.S. national team and Australia. Very good players there.
Well, the one thing I want to point out as far as for comparing the men's and the women's team is, I guess he fell asleep, is the fact that you'll notice on the men's team that they're not, you know, other countries, you know, like if they're playing in Europe and they're Americans, they're not sending them to the Olympics. You're usually getting the younger players, where in the women's team, you're seeing a lot of the top players playing on the women's teams. And that's not just the United States. So that's why I suspect we're going to see a rematch in Sweden against the U.S. in the finals.
Well, I hope so, because I would like to really, because that those are entertaining games when they happen. Yes. So I would like to see it. So let's turn our attention to the men's side. We do have the Gold Cup going on, and the men had a similar situation as they faced Qatar. What did you guys think of that match? And as we go into the final, what are you thinking?
I think we honestly, I try not to knock Qatar too much, but the fact it was a 0-1, I think it should have been a little bit stronger of a win. I would feel a little better if we had a 0-2. But again,
Jeff, we're at home.
Well, no, but they're technically the home team.
Where did they play that game?
They played in Austin.
Hold on. Does that mean that when we play games in the U.S. in certain cities, and it's almost all Mexico fans, that is that a home game still for us?
Yeah, I don't know where Sundays is going to be, but what my point was being that it was a win, but I think it was a little underwhelming of a win, but also pointing to back the fact that I think that the men's team, they have higher than they have on the Olympics, but still you are not having some of the top players that are normally playing in the Gold Cup right now. Raul is not playing for Mexico. You're not having your top American players playing on this.
No, this is 100% our B team. This is like who's going to fill out the bench for World Cup qualifying. That's what this is.
And the Olympics is our C team for the men's.
Yeah.
So that's a thing on a factor there. But there are some, you know, there's Dyke in there for the U.S., for Mexico. Jesus Corona's in there, so you've got some good talent there, but it's not the ones that are usually seeing, you know, as your top, would you expect as your top players?
I was very frustrated with the roster that was named for this Gold Cup, and it has shown. I don't understand why the top players in the European offseason couldn't be here beating people 4-5-0. Swaggering, lording it over everyone else. I'm really tired of experimental lineups and, let's see how this guy might fit. Greg Berhalter's been the coach for almost 3 years now. He should know who his players are. You know who your team is. And we need to establish some dominance and some swagger and build some confidence and win those trophies, because everyone seems to think the U.S. national team can just flip a switch. And I think we learned in the last World Cup qualifying cycle, we can't really just flip a switch.
Well, and the question I have, and maybe you guys can answer this for me, is the Gold Cup supposed to be our equivalent to the Euro?
It doesn't feel like it. Saying it should be.
Technically, it is, but it's clear that the rest of the world does not find it as equative. So that's where, I agree. It should be on the same standing as Euro 2020 as far as for how important it is to CONCACAF. But when UEFA in particular looks at it, and their teams are going, okay, we have our preseason where we've got to develop our players in La Liga and Bundesliga and so forth, that's more important than.
But is that not on CONCACAF? Because it's not like the Euro 2020 didn't happen this year. Like, why is CONCACAF not scheduling this a little bit earlier so that those players don't have those games? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because if you're CONCACAF, do you not want Mexico to have their best players, the U.S. to have their best players? Like, do you not want that? Like, I don't understand the logic in scheduling it so that the quarters, semis, and finals fall during the last week, really, of training for those European leagues before they start going live. It doesn't make sense to me.
And at a time when, even though, yes, you've got your C team at the Olympics, but as far as for viewership, it's the same time the Olympics are going on. So why would you schedule as far as for audience? You know, you're going to get a much lower viewership. I agree with you, Adam. I think we should have I don't know what they were thinking.
I've said time and again, and it's the same thing with the pro teams that I follow, and I want the U.S. to be the same way. If you are in a tournament, I want you putting out your absolute best team in order to win it. And, you know, if Greg Berhalter needs to find a way to be a little more charming with some of these clubs over in Europe to say, let's get this guy some games, let's have him come play for the national team. If Christian Pulisic is the one lifting the Gold Cup trophy, how many more Chelsea jerseys are you going to sell than if the U.S. national team is laying an egg in the final against Mexico, which I'm sorry, everyone, but it's what I think is going to happen. And Christian Pulisic isn't even there.
Well, normally I think Raul would be playing. And the only reason Raul is not playing is because he is just coming back from injury. And if he wasn't coming back from injury, now he is playing in the preseason. If that wasn't there, I do think he would be playing. And having said that, if they saw that Raul is playing for Mexico, I'm wondering if Pulisic would change his mind.
Considering Christian, I don't think this was Pulisic's decision, but considering Christian Pulisic, the team was probably like,
I think it was Chelsea's decision.
Absolutely no way we're sending him over there, because when he takes four steps, he might pull something. So we're just going to have him here. Very excited for whatever Premier League team, however, signs Daryl DK so that I can switch allegiances just to troll at him.
Yeah, I think he's, I would love to see him in Europe. I think he's a top player. Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't. I'd love to see him at Wolves, to be blunt.
I don't want him at Arsenal.
So, by the way, Chelsea Arsenal playing a friendly on Sunday. So get your little U.S.-Mexico warm-up with the Soccer Chat Derby. And Bigles Wade Report.
Ben White might get a little time, so I'm looking forward to that.
They're and all Wolves, still doing preseason.
And that, Wolves, that's your Bigles against Wade Coventry, report. Wolves against Coventry City. You know, you go. I don't know how that got past your radar. It's the same day, so. At least it's a West Midlands kind of derby, so very different leagues.
Thank you.
I have been reading a biography of Brian Clough, so.
What?
You read?
Yeah, no, Adam's the one that doesn't read.
Oh, okay.
Books on tape. And they are on tape because I'm old.
Did I ever tell you about my loud print audiobooks? That's just it's just someone screaming really loud. It's large print audio.
I think we could totally make that happen as long as the book is about Brandon Dean. I think I just woke up my wife, so she would sleep.
And on that note,
bye.